Welcome to Ray and Tay Today.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and welcome to the show, man. I'm back in the building. Thank you for all your support and prayers for all the fans and friends and family. William Truth Taylor, my son's feeling a little bit better, still not out of the woods in the hospital, and just he's on the mend, and hopefully should be doing well very soon. So thank you. And he listens to our show. So, William, you hang in there. When you wake up, baby, you'll be enjoying another episode. And like Uncle Tal said, Uncle Ray said, you'll be doing the intro soon. So give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, we're on the Twitter, the Facebook, our email. It's rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. The website is rayandtaytoday.com. A lot of great info in there. Great poll questions, very interactive. So get involved with us. Ray and Tay love the social media in terms of talking to you, our fans, because we love talking sports with friends. So Facebook, Twitter is Ray and Tay Today as well. Ray, let them know a busy sports Friday and a lot of breaking news.
Yeah, so we got a lot of breaking news to go through in the NFL, some stuff going on in baseball. The WNBA was decided last night. Yeah, Minnesota. So we'll go through that. We'll go through quickly the breaking news. Then we'll talk about last night's NFL Week 6 game. We will also preview these Major League Baseball LCS series. So we've got the Dodgers in St. Louis, and we've got Detroit and Boston. So it should be it's crunch time.
A great final four
in baseball. Yeah, these are really solid teams. I mean, these guys really have excelled. Certainly, the second half of the season, these teams have been just fantastic. Detroit all year, but certainly the Dodgers second half of the season have been the best team in baseball. So great final four. Then we will we'll get into some of the specifics with the Week 6 matchups in the NFL. A lot to talk about there. We'll give you a little bit of some fantasy advice.
Yeah.
And we'll end the show. We'll preview the weekend's action. We'll also give you our segment,
You're Not Ready.
We'll give you two guys that you may not be ready for. You may not think about them as premier players. So we're not going to tell you that, you know, Adrian Peterson is, we'll get to him in a minute, but Adrian Peterson is going to have a big game because, you know, even if he does, I mean, that's Adrian Peterson. He typically goes number one in a fantasy draft. So we're going to try and give you a couple guys that may have been late rounders.
Not the obvious.
Yeah, maybe free agent pickups that might have something in store for you this weekend. So let's get into the breaking news. There's some sad news out there, speaking of Adrian Peterson. So let's start with that.
Well, it looks like his 2-year-old son has passed away. And Ray and Tay, we don't like to speculate. You know, it could be some domestic stuff involved with his baby's mother's boyfriend, possibly. Who knows? But we just know that we need to shout out some love and extend our hearts to Adrian Peterson, who said he will play on Sunday. Might put up 200-300 yards just out of just being so upset. But God bless him and his family. And the loss of his child, but the loss of any child is just gone too soon. So we definitely salute and shout him out. And then Kellen Winslow, Ray, you know, I've got him on a couple of fantasy teams. He's been helping out our boy Geno Smith. Well, maybe he got back to playing pretty good again because he got suspended for 4 games because of PED use.
I'm a soldier.
Yeah. Well, this soldier is going to be on the sidelines for 4 weeks, which is probably rough for the Jets because he, you know, Jeff Cumberland will have to step up so people could pick him up. But Kellen Winslow had a great touchdown Monday night when they beat the Falcons, and he's been playing pretty good. And then why don't you tell everybody about just the fungus and what continues to go on and plague the Tampa Bay Buccaneers down there?
Yeah, the Tampa Bay Bucs are in a bit of a quandary here. They got the third player that has been diagnosed with MRSA. So if you remember, they had their kicker, Lawrence Tynes, is out for the season because of MRSA. Their tackle, Nix, that they got, the all-pro tackle that they got from New Orleans, he was diagnosed, and now he's had another outbreak of MRSA. Now the third player, they haven't identified him, but a third player has been diagnosed, and they said that they're bringing
in
the NFL.
Oh, yeah, no, is it Jonathan Butler, or it's a safety or somebody? I forgot who it is.
Oh, they said
who
it is? Okay, because I didn't know that they had identified the player yet. So anyway, they got a third outbreak of this MRSA, which is really crazy considering, you know, it's a workplace hazard. And now they're saying that there's an outside chance, it probably won't happen, but there's an outside chance that, Philly, the Players Association, if they think that the, people on Philly or in Tampa on either of those two teams, they may
might not want to play the game. Man.
They might not want to play the game. Think it's an unsafe situation. So something's going on there, and the Bucs just can't get a handle on this. And they've had their facility cleaned twice, so it's not like they're just sitting on their hands. You know, nobody wants this, right? Nobody. You know, you could argue that some teams may treat players a certain way, and they may, diss them or deceive them around contract time. Nobody wants this. This is harmful to everybody. So this is just something unfortunate that that their doctors and their staff just can't get rid of. So yeah, I hope this gets resolved. This is not a situation that anybody wants for in any workplace.
Yeah, definitely. And then doctors are still deciding what's going to happen with Gronkowski. They haven't signed off. Dr. James Andrews has not signed off on him being able to play. So it looks like he's going to miss another week, so they probably should have just put him on the temporary, injured reserve, which he could have come back after week six anyway.
Well, the problem with that is that he wouldn't have been able to practice with the team, though. So they're saying he's practicing.
Yeah.
And in fact, that's where there's a little bit of a rift, because the Patriots are saying he's ready to go. He's practicing, been practicing for 2-3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And his doctor and Dr. Andrews, neither of whom have signed off on him being ready, are saying, no, he's not yet ready. And if you remember,
you're not
Roy
ready.
Williams, you're not ready. Remember Roy Williams of the Cowboys?
Yes.
And,
Detroit
that
Lions,
broken arm, when you start breaking it multiple times, that's not good. So he's had the forearm, had the back injury. So, look, the good thing is the team, if you're a Patriots fan, you're thinking, wow, we're 4-1 without Gronkowski, so wait another week, get ready. Get him ready, get him healthy, because you're preparing for the playoffs if you're the Patriots.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be interesting. Also, one quick note in the NBA. It's pretty interesting. Paul Gasol is two things, really. Paul Gasol is saying that he's not likely to help the Lakers out financially and to opt out and to take less money for the 2014-15 season. Then you also got Magic Johnson leaves ESPN and ABC because he's a busy, rich businessman. So we'll see, who will be the NBA sort of game day crew with Jalen Rose and Mike Wilbon and Bill Simmons. We'll see. I don't know if they've released who will be, giving us, the previews of the games and stuff. So kudos to Magic, whose Dodgers are, not just in the playoffs, but are taking no prisoners and doing a great job. And I don't know. I got to tell you, what's interesting is that I just noticed in one preseason game, our boy Jeremy Lin is coming off the bench, and we'll see how it goes for the season. But it looks like the Rockets, who beat the Pacers like handily the other night by like 20, Patrick Beverley was starting at the point for them, man. So it'll be interesting to see. Listen, we're going to have our NBA preview just in a couple of weeks. The season starts the 29th. So, we'll look at the calendar. But that week, Ray and Tay will definitely give you the NBA preview. And as we get closer, we'll start breaking down some of these teams and all the free agent moves. It's going to be an NBA show. We'll be dedicated to the NBA just like we did last year for our preview.
That's the men. Let's talk about the ladies for a minute.
Oh, some props. We got to give some love.
The WNBA. We got to give some props to the Minnesota Lynx.
Yeah.
And their rookie star, Maya Moore, So she wins the finals MVP. They sweep the finals. They win 7 in a row, and they are the class of the WNBA. So hats off to the Minnesota Lynx.
Right. They beat, who is it, the Atlanta? Yeah, they beat the Atlanta
team.
The
Dream. Yeah, you don't know about the Dream.
Yeah.
The Atlanta Dream.
Well, listen, I do know Minnesota took out. They took out Phoenix real easily, and our girl,
Griner.
Brittany Griner, yeah, they shut her down and took them out. So Minnesota is their chance, but they really earned it, right? You had to go through the star number one player in the league, and they did it with no problem. So props and kudos to them, definitely, man.
Well, you know what's cool was that Maya Moore, we were talking about this off air, Maya Moore was playing at what they're calling the Gwinnett Arena now, and she wins a WNBA title. And the last time she played on that court, she led her high school team to the last of their 3 consecutive state championships.
Wow.
So how crazy is that, that Maya Moore is doing her thing back home in Atlanta and winning a WNBA title on the same court that she won a high school championship? That's awesome. Good for her.
It is. It definitely is. You gotta love that, man. You got to. So you know what? Let's switch on over to the playoffs. Let's talk some MLB baseball. Playoffs. You gotta be hyped up. Look, we've had our different picks. You know, Ray was telling you on our last show. I went with Oakland. I took a risk. You know, I know Detroit, and I thought Detroit was one of the better teams, and predicted them to go this far at the beginning of the season. But I went with Oakland, and Oakland almost had it, but we got to give Verlander a little bit of props. Before we go to preview the next series, what Verlander did last night in 111 pitches, 8 shutout innings, I mean, he was a yeoman beast last night. And that's clutch men and clutch moments make clutch plays. And that was a clutch start, outdueling your boy, Sonny Beeman, I like to call him Sonny. Yeah,
well, you know what's crazy is that.
Funny to share, but.
to borrow a phrase from Yogi Berra, it was deja vu all over again. Because yesterday was October 10th. And on October 11th of last year, he pitched Verlander a complete game in Game 5 in Oakland to win the series. So the A's must have nightmares of Justin Verlander. It's funny because he hasn't been that great a playoff pitcher. He hasn't been that clutch except for when he plays Oakland. He's basically unhittable, and certainly in Game 5s against Oakland. So kudos to Verlander for going 8 innings. Benoit made it interesting in the 9th, but Verlander was just untouchable. He was really untouchable. So you know, again, Oakland does great things in the regular season, makes it to the playoffs, and can't advance. But you tip your hat also to Miguel Cabrera, who's been playing hurt for about a month and a half. He hits a big home run, a 2-run homer. And
clutch shot.
Yeah, this.
But you
got to.
But listen, you
got to
tell the truth, right? He hit that in the 4th inning because the first couple innings nobody could get a hit because the sun was in their eyes. And the players even talked about it in the post game. It was like everybody was whiffing because you just can't really see. And that backdrop in the Oakland Coliseum Stadium, and they got sewage coming up out the ground in the old stadium. But the guys, nobody could see it because it was reflecting the sun in their eyes.
Right,
so,
and it's a made-for-TV
event,
right? They typically don't play at 4:00 in the afternoon, you know, local time in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
So the playoff games are at 4:00, you know, so to cater to, or 5:00 to cater to the, you know, the East Coast. And you get that twilight, tough hitting conditions.
Yeah. Well, let's look forward to tonight, right? The series starts. Dodgers are going to St. Louis. St. Louis and Boston both have the home field advantage in the American and National League. You know, like we said, they're both tied at 97 wins, the best records in baseball. Let's look at this series. The Cards, I mean, look, we talked about that lineup earlier, how clutch they are. But they're facing a pretty clutch lineup with the Dodgers, and they're going against the Batman and Batman, or Batman and Superman, and Clayton Crenshaw and your boy
Greinke.
Yeah, Kershaw and Greinke. So it's sort of the Cardinals' lineup depth and I think overall decent or good pitching, because Wainwright and some of the other guys are solid, but the Dodgers having star pitching and a pretty good lineup as well. So who do you think has the edge? What's your pick? What's your feel in this series?
Well, I'm sticking to my original prediction where I had the Dodgers representing the National League.
Yes,
and
sir.
It's hard in any series to go against St. Louis because their experience, look, they've won two World Series, you know, in the last 6 or 7 years. They're very clutch. And they've got, in fact, they won it two years ago. They won it right after Albert, or right before Albert Pujols left. These guys are unbelievable. They are clutch hitters. We talked about this on a, what was it, two shows ago. They have five of the six clutchest hitters in the National League. So they hit with runners in scoring position. They hit in the playoffs. So I'm scared to face them. The good thing for if you're a Dodger fan, though, is that, like you said, your pitching staff is lined up so that Greinke pitches game one, Kershaw pitches game two, Ryu pitches game three. So you've got your top three starters going 1-2-3. I mean, you'd probably put Kershaw one, but because he pitched his gem and he pitched on 3 days rest in the previous
And that
year.
Doesn't even knock your order, you know. That doesn't
Yeah,
even
so
knock your
so
order.
No big deal, right? And then I think that they are going to go to a four-man rotation. So right now they've said that Ricky Nolasco is going to pitch game four for them. That might change. But we'll see. But I just think that the Dodgers are so hot right now. And, you know, but like they said, you're only as hot as your next day starting pitcher.
Their next day
starting pitch is pretty hot too. So I think the Dodgers are just – they just have the complete package. They have – momentum on their side, they have excitement, they have starting pitching, they have a great end of the rotation. I like the Dodgers. I really do. I think St. Louis is going to be a tough team to beat. I think you're going to have to win game six in St. Louis, but I like the Dodgers in six. I like them.
Okay.
I like Kershaw. Anytime you face Kershaw and Greinke twice in a series, that's bad news.
I'll tell you this. The one thing that I do like about the Cardinals, I like John Jay, and Freeze finally got his bat healthy again because I had him on my fantasy team and he was struggling. And a shout out for Ray and Tay Fantasy Baseball because Joe Mandello beat your boy Mark, and so we got to give Trailer Trash his props in the Ray and Tay Fantasy Baseball League. He won. So, but I would say this, you know, the Cardinals hitting is so clutch. So I actually think they're going to pull it to the distance, but I'm going with the Dodgers. And so I think it's going to go seven games, but I just think, you know, you'll get some surprises. So, like, whether it's – I bet Kershaw or Greinke, their first time around, one of them is going to lose a game, but I think it's the second time around where they have the effect. And so I think it's Hanley Ramirez to me. Ramirez has been one of the most underrated players this season in baseball. And I think what he's done and his, you know, timely and clutch hitting, and we've spoken about it on the show before, it's been incredible. And I think it's been sort of not appreciated because everybody thinks about Yasiel Puig and, you know, Beltran and some of these other guys. But just watch Ramirez in this series and just, you know, see how it goes down. But I really think it's going to be a battle. So I like the Dodgers in seven. And then when we swing to the American League, hey, the Red Sox have the home field advantage, but I ask you this. Do you go with Detroit still, or are you worried about Cabrera?
I'm sticking with my pick. I actually thought Tampa would sneak up on Boston. They didn't. Boston was just too much. They were the class of that AL East. They were the class of that first-round wild card, or first-round NLDS. But I think there's something about knocking on the door and not succeeding the year before and earning
sort of
it
like
this
year. Like the Pistons and the Bulls.
Yeah, basketball is filled with that, like knocking on the door. You know, huff and you puff until you finally blow the door down. Well, I think this is the year that Detroit does that. And I think they win this series, and I think they win the World Series. But back to this series, they have, just like the Dodgers have a 1-2-3, their 1-2-3 might be just as good, if not better. In fact, that's why I want to see that World Series, if we're able to see it and if both rotations can line up. But you throw out, they're throwing out Anibal Sanchez, and he's going up against John Lester in game one. Now, you would think, okay, Anibal Sanchez. Well, Anibal Sanchez on 25 other teams is their number one starter. So even though he's their number three starter, he's fantastic. And then you follow up him with the 21-3 Max Scherzer. And then, oh, by the way, you know, the guy who pitched an unbelievable gem, Justin Verlander, is pitching in game three. So, yeah,
I might
so
do 3-7
them.
If needed, because he's that
right.
type of player.
And so you've got them now. Look, Boston's pitching staff is not a joke either. So you got the tough lefty in Lester. Buchholz is pitching game two. And then John Lackey, who you can get some great performance if he remembers how he pitched
in
LA.
Yeah, but you don't always trust
LA.
Lackey.
That's exactly my point. He's up and down. I just think that if Miguel Cabrera can be a fraction of what he used to be, you know, middle of the season, and if he can, you know, whatever it takes to get healthy, don't take steroids, but, you know, painkillers or whatever, you know, whatever it takes to get you somewhat healthy.
He's a veteran hitter. He'll, like you say.
And Johnny Peralta came back and had that clutch three-run homer. And Omar Infante's a pretty clutch hitter, and now you've got, you know, Mike Avila, if he can give you something, and Prince Fielder, if he can give you something. And
all right, so you got the Tigers. How many games? Come on.
I think this is also going six. I got the Tigers in six.
Okay. It's so funny. I want to agree with you, but they have beaten me into submission. I cannot ever root for the Red Sox. I'll be rooting for the Tigers. But I have got to go with Boston in seven. I'm going against Detroit's pitching. I think Cabrera being hurt is going to hurt them in their lineup a little bit. And I just think the Red Sox, the way that their bats put together hits, and Big Poppy's alive again and playing well, and all their guys, even the young Middlebrooks, all these different guys, they just come through hit after hit, Johnny Gomes, whoever it is. And I think the Red Sox will pitch good enough, but I think there'll be some games that it's 6-5, 7, you know, 6, 4-3. It's going to be more scoring. And so I'm going to go Red Sox-Dodgers, and it will be Red Sox, beating the Tigers in 7, man. So
wow, okay.
That's where it is. So listen, let's take a quick break, and then let's get into some Saturday football, the college football, Ray and Tay.
We're back. And we're back to talk Saturday Pigskin. Are you ready?
Listen, this is
well,
this
first,
is going to be
Thursday Pigskin. Let's talk about the game
last night. My
let's
boy
get
Teddy,
into it. Your boy, your Heisman Trophy favorite, Teddy Bridgewater, Keith Bridge.
Only 24-10. Louisville wins 24-10.
Only quote unquote 24-10.
Were you disappointed? That's what I want to know. Were you disappointed? Because look, he had the opportunity to put up a 40 or 30 or 50 point game on Thursday Night Football. Everybody's sort of watching, and Teddy Bridgewater was just all right.
See, this is the problem when you play in a lesser conference. You don't have days off in the SEC, right? So
Charles Davis said that on
our
show too.
Yeah, that's why there's always an advantage playing in the SEC. You don't have to get up for the lesser teams, and you maybe have one or two on your schedule just to give you a break. So you can't play, you know, 12 top 25 teams. But, you know, it's funny because Teddy Bridgewater is getting killed, and if I read you his stat line, he was 21 for 31 for 310 yards. That's 10 yards an attempt, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception, and had a QBR of 78.4. Not a bad night. In fact,
no.
A night that 99% of quarterbacks would take. The problem is he is a Heisman Trophy favorite. And so
it was a bad
expects,
first half. So if you tuned out, right, the first half you weren't impressed. second half, he definitely played a lot better. And, you know, it was 17-7 at the half, and they pulled away. So 24-10, the defense shut him down, and Teddy, like, he got more of those yards in the second half and played better. So
right,
I can't totally kill him. He's not, put it like this, he's not out of the Heisman running, not at all.
Yeah, I don't
not
think
for me,
you,
at least.
You can throw for 300 yards and two touchdowns and do yourself a disservice. You know, he wasn't
right.
playing against high school kids. I mean, at the end of the day, this is still – Rutgers is still, you know, a legit football team. So, look, I think it's neutral in terms of Teddy. You know, certainly Taj Boyd, Mariota, even Johnny Manziel have an opportunity this weekend to
And famous
better,
James. Famous
and
James
famous,
Winston.
Exactly,
he's in the running this year. I believe he is.
Stopped your Maryland Terrapins. But, yeah, these guys –
I got to do an oh-so-very-quiet, yo, Terps.
You got to try and win a few more to sneak back into the top 25.
Hey, don't sleep on us. We might upset Clemson in a week or two when we play them, so don't sleep on my Terps. Don't sleep.
That would be
but,
fun.
Yeah. So let's look forward. We got three ranked opponent games this week, and I guess we got to look first at SEC, and you forget Missouri's in the SEC. But Missouri is 25?
Yep.
Going to Georgia. Can Georgia get a break and not have to play a ranked team? Can they just ever get
a
break?
That's the difference between Georgia and Louisville, right? So if Georgia had a Heisman Trophy, I mean, Aaron Murray, I suppose, is a Heisman Trophy candidate.
Yeah.
But he can't take weeks off, you know? This guy is that Georgia schedule is just brutal. That SEC is brutal. And, again, I had that sneaky suspicion that the SEC is going to beat up on each other. We'll see if somebody can beat Alabama. But let me ask you something. What scenario can Missouri come in there and beat Georgia? Is there a scenario where they can win?
I really don't think there is. I think it's good for Missouri that they just recently got in the top 25. I think they're middle-of-the-road SEC team. They've been, you know,
they're
here
5-0.
Yeah, but they haven't.
They're only 1-0 in the SEC. They've only played one
in
the SEC.
Right, they haven't
so
really
far.
Played any major. So I think Georgia smokes them. I actually have Georgia winning this, like, 30-13. I think Gurley's still banged up a little, but I think Murray and the boys, they kind of flex their muscle. And this is like a game where they get like a break almost. They get to exhale because they've had so many tough opponents and playing, you know, three or four ranked opponents already. So I got them 30-13 smoking Missouri.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is that Georgia, I mean, if you look at Georgia's schedule, they play Missouri and then they play Vanderbilt and then they play Florida. And then they have really nobody to play towards the back end of their schedule. They play Appalachian State, Auburn, Kentucky, and Georgia Tech. So Georgia wants to run the table to get to, you know, hopefully for them represent the SEC East in the, you know,
title
in
game,
their
yeah.
You know, in their title game. Because look, their only loss is out of conference to Clemson. So they would love to, you know, on this year where they only play LSU, they'd love to be there. So they beat LSU, beat South Carolina. So the only thing I can think of is they wouldn't be looking ahead to Vandy, but maybe they're just thinking, whew, we got, you know, we went through the first part of our schedule. Maybe we can take a break. Bless you.
I doubt it.
So I doubt it, too. I'm with you. I think it's a blowout. You know, you got 30-13.
Look, they're number 7. They'll probably stay at 7 or maybe move to 6. They're going to be right in that mix, and this will be a sort of an easy game.
Yeah,
what do you got, 40
so
points?
Too.
What's your score, man?
I think so, too. I think they win 31-20.
Ooh, okay, you give Missouri some points. So then we've got, now this gets a little bit more meatier. Look, this is, SEC is just great. Florida, without their quarterback, or I don't know if he's coming back yet, but it's Florida number 17 at number 10 LSU. And I got to be honest, I love Florida's defense. We all know that they play defense. I don't really love the offense. I think both quarterbacks have struggled when they play this year. They can't move the ball so great. And I really think that Mecklenburg, he's been tested this season. He lost the shootout to Murray, and that was a great game for LSU. And, you know, they've had their battles this year. But I think this is where LSU holds on to the fact that they still want to smell potential chance, you know, for being alive for the title. And I just think LSU I think they handle Florida. I think LSU wins this game. Oh, gosh. 27-23.
So this is not your father's LSU team. This team can score. This team has had 400 yards in offense in each of its first six games.
They nice receivers.
5-1. Their only blemish is that tough loss, 44-41, to Georgia back in September. So I think this team takes it out on a Florida team that, you know, Driscoll wasn't that great. Murphy's not that great a quarterback. I think Florida's struggling a little bit at the QB position. So I like LSU. I think your boy Mettenberger is, you know, he's ready to play.
He's the truth. He's kind of good, right? He changes.
And his boy Beckham can really make it happen.
That's
and
a big boy. He reminds me of Reuben Randall. Like,
They've got some talent on offense. And you know LSU always plays deep. So I like LSU big. I like them. I think they hold Florida to 17, and I think they themselves scored 35. I think it's a blowout.
Whoa, 35-17. Okay, so now in our last matchup, number 2 Oregon is at number 16 Washington. And let me just say this. Washington played one heck of a game against Stanford. Stanford is great, but they were lucky to survive that game, just like Ohio State was lucky to survive the Northwestern game. I just got to say that because I didn't get to, you know, I wasn't on last show to talk about it. But this game right here, I think what we're going to see, we're just going to see how good Oregon's defense is on the road. And I think they're going to show improve against Washington. I love Washington's speed, their offense. You know, I think, but Oregon is more explosive, Mariota and the boys, than Kevin Hogan and the boys. And I think Oregon goes into Washington and winds up winning 38-30. I think it's going to be kind of back and forth, but Oregon just is going to have a little bit too much for Washington. And just Mariota, to this game right here, he might win the Heisman. That's how impressive he's going to be.
He's going to have to probably do it without DeAnthony Thomas because he was walking.
Next man up.
Yeah. So we'll see. He was walking on a boot, and they haven't really declared his status. I like this Washington team. It's just unfortunate that they play Stanford and Oregon back-to-back, and I think, like you do, that they're going to lose again. But I do think it's going to be a tough game. I think Oregon puts up big points, but I think Washington hangs with them. So I think Oregon wins something like 35-30.
35-30. Okay. Listen, it's going to be – look, college football is exciting. You know, you got some – Texas A&M's got a good game this week at Ole Miss. It's going to be a good week no matter which way you look at it when you're watching college football. But talking about the league where they pay, even though they might pay in college football, let's talk about last night, man. I mean, look, week six started already. And I'll just say this number to you. Besides 27-21, Bears beat the Giants. How about 8 interceptions, 6 games in the fourth quarter? Eli Manning. And he leads the league in interceptions. I believe it's what, he's up to 17? He's on a record pace. But we talk about Romo in the clutch, and he threw that interception. You know, we talk about Sanchez, all these different guys. But Eli Manning is having one of the worst seasons, and one of the interceptions clearly wasn't his fault, Brandon Myers. But, you know, Eli's been off all game. Like, you know, it's either he's thrown behind the receiver or a little bit too much mustard on it or a little bit whatever. Brandon Jacobs played good, gave him some excitement. But what did you think about this game? No Peanut Tillman, but Jennings and everybody fills in. He gets a pick six, which, you know, Adam Schefter predicted on NFL Insiders, I think yesterday I heard that. But what did you think about the Giants and 0-6? How will it continue? Will it be like 0-10? Like, I'm at a loss for words for Edgar and all the Giant fans out there. Dorothea, shout out all the Giant fans, but they got to be bleeding inside.
Yeah, I don't know what the Giants do. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh's got the same issue in terms of what do they do? How do they had this issue with Pittsburgh about the whole, you know, Mike Tomlin said there's no games in the locker room. And the only thing you can do is change because obviously 0-6, something's not working. And the problem with Eli Manning is that he's always been an erratic quarterback, and he's typically pulled out – he's been the most clutch fourth quarter quarterback maybe in the history of football if you consider the other three quarterback – the other three quarters one game, and then the fourth quarter is another game. So it's not like he's been a star quarterback that leads the league in efficiency and that leads the league in you know, quarter QBR or however you want to, you know, however you want to judge a quarterback.
No, he's
always been that guy that plays just average through three quarters and then plays great in the fourth quarter. Now, the problem is he's digging himself so much of a hole that even if he were super clutch in the fourth, that he has too big of a mountain to climb. Now, he's not even playing well in the fourth quarter, so he's actually playing four bad quarters of football. So, but I don't know what you do. I mean, you need better offensive line play. So what do you do? And now that Brandon Jacobs is back, it looks good. David Wilson, it looks like, might be – he's now afraid that he's out for the season. So his neck, you know, his neck injury might require season-ending surgery. So that might be bad for them.
That
but luckily, Brandon Jacobs was available. Everybody wanted the Giants to pick up Willis McGahee. They ended up getting Brandon Jacobs. Maybe Coach Coughlin made the right move there.
He knew the system, and yeah, he knew the system. So
sure.
It's turning out better. Yeah.
If you're the Giants, you write this season off. You got to make a big decision on Hakeem Nicks and determine if you got to pay him.
Also, I think you bring Nicks back, but the problem is a big problem, right? Pierre Paul is not 100% healthy. He's playing and not playing well. Tuck, the defensive line, I think they missed Chris Canty. I said that before on the show, who's with the Ravens. I think the defensive line, they didn't sniff Jay Cutler. They don't, put it like this, they don't know what deodorant he wore last night or the cologne. You know what I'm saying? They don't know what Jay Cutler was wearing. Aftershave, nada, nunca. They don't know nothing, yo. I mean, that was disgusting. They didn't touch him. And let's give some respect. I love this guy, Brandon Marshall. Salute him. Getting the NFL fine with the green shoes, but he did it for mental health and all the stuff that he does for mental health. I'm just proud of that brother, and I salute him, because to be a man to say that you got issues and mental health issues and to face it, face your critics, your demons, but to turn it around and then be so big on being a pioneer for people getting attention, sort of like Meta World Peace for mental health, that's important, because kids and people in our society don't think about that stuff and don't look at it. And so I salute Brandon Marshall. And the Bears look good. They're a 4-2 team that looks better than 4-2 right now, even though the Saints went to their place last week and beat them. So they're a little bit of a yo-yo 4-2. But, you know, hey, I got to give them a look.
Where was my man Alshon Jeffery?
Yo, Alshon Jeffery, I know. They went to Bennett a lot. But listen, they lost to the Saints in Cincinnati. Can you really knock that? You can't knock that. So kudos to them. So let's keep it moving. Let's move forward to this week. And, you know, we got some good games. But we're going to start with a game that – it's close to us because, hey, this is my first and second favorite team. This is your second favorite team. My 0-4 with the bye, Steelers, are going to the New York Jets. The Jets are incredible. It's, what, 3-2? Geno Smith. No Kellen Winslow now, so they got Cumberland. Santonio Holmes might play. Stephen Hill banged up. Curly. I honestly, and I'm being honest here, and this, from this game, there's somebody in our you're not ready for me, but I think this is where Kotchery, Antonio Brown, Heath Miller is getting more, you know, a little healthier after the bye week. I think the Steelers offense wakes up and is a little bit too much and can outscore the Jets. I think my Steelers beat the Jets, even though the Jets are playing hot and good defense and beat the Falcons and yada, yada, yada. I like the Steelers 26-23 at MetLife Stadium. My Steelers get their first victory, baby. Let's do it.
Okay, all right, calm down. So,
do it.
I don't want to be a Jets hater because, you know, I'm a Jets lover. But the problem is with playing in New York. Yeah, the problem, I do agree. I do agree with the outcome. The problem with playing in New York is that the media can go to your head. So now, it's funny because somebody caught them out there. This was very funny. They showed the front cover of the New York Post, and they said a star is born after last game with Geno. And they went back 5 years or so ago, and they had that after Sanchez played a good game. You know, they said a star is born. You know, so the media hypes him up. So it was kudos to whoever pulled that out. But they jumped on the bandwagon a little too fast, right? Because 2 weeks ago he was the worst quarterback in the history of the Jets, and now he's the best quarterback in the history of the Jets. So the truth is always somewhere in the middle. And I think that the Jets are not as good as a 3-2 record would have you believe. I think that Rexy does a good job of having the Jets stay tough and stay, focused when their backs are against the wall. I think playing from ahead, they're going to have a little bit of trouble. So they're the 3-2 team. And Pittsburgh is coming in as the 0-4 team, right? So I think they have to watch out and not be complacent. And I think Pittsburgh ultimately is the better team, even though they've been having some problems. And I think Ben Roethlisberger will be able to throw the ball, which will open up a little bit of a running attack. I mean, the big issue for Pittsburgh is you guys are only averaging 58 yards a game on the ground.
It's disgusting. But we got Le'Veon Bell with the 2 touchdowns. Yeah.
So I do think Pittsburgh
bounces
back.
Something's got to give in this
game. Yeah, I do think Pittsburgh bounces back. I think Geno reverts back to being a rookie, makes a couple mistakes. Maybe Pittsburgh can generate a few turnovers. I don't know that there's a ton of scoring in this game, but I think Pittsburgh wins 24-17.
Okay. So next, we got an interesting game. These are two teams that could have easily been matching up in the Super Bowl in the last couple of years. We got T-Sizzle hosting A-Rodge. So Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers, at the Baltimore Ravens. Sounds like an exciting, juicy game. But both teams have been sort of not so impressive this year. I think, honestly, when I look at this, I think Eddie Lacy is starting to wake up and get going as he gets healthier. I think, the receivers and Rodgers, I think they wind up going into Baltimore, and I think they kind of take it to the Ravens. I think that the Packers, look, they didn't have a great win last week, but Megatron didn't play, but they got a win, right? They pulled away more in the second half. And the Ravens had a tough, gritty win at the Dolphins. I just don't know if the Ravens can score enough. And Flacco is inconsistent enough, and the Green Bay Packers' defense is opportunistic enough that I think they might get some Flacco turnovers, yada, yada, here and there. I think the Packers win 27-21. I think it's a good win. 27-21, I'm going to go with the Packers.
I think the Packers are a tough, tough team to stop offensively. And coming off the bye, they will put it on the Baltimore Ravens. So coast to coast, Stacy, our man from Baltimore, I know, and all you Maryland folks out there, I know you got the Ravens in your heart. Just go to bed thinking we won a championship last year, because this is not your week. I think that this game at M&T Bank Stadium at 1 o'clock, I think the Packers put it on the Ravens. The Packers I think it's one of those games. The Packers are averaging 453 yards a game. So I think they're going to have their way outdoors on the turf in M&T Bank Stadium. I think the Packers put up 38 and the Ravens put up 23. So I got a high-scoring blowout, Green Bay Packers by 15.
Wow, okay. Look at Ray going out there on a wing and a prayer. That's high scoring blowout. So, look, I can't disagree with that in a way, but we'll just move on. We both got the Packers anyway. But I'm interested in this game. Tennessee has been solid this year. Tennessee, they're very solid this year at Seattle. Seattle is a little upset because they just lost to the Colts on the road. They are 2-1 on the road now, but at home, they don't lose. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's not traveling into Seattle. Chris Johnson's not running. Kendall Wright's not doing it. This is going to be – the one thing about Tennessee is the defense. Their defense plays well. We can give a shout-out to our boy who used to coach with the Saints. He's over there as the assistant defensive coordinator helping out. But I'm gonna be honest here. This is not gonna be too pretty. So it's not gonna be high scoring for Seattle either because they kind of struggle. But I'll give them this: 23-10. 23-10, and the crowd is just too much. Lynch touchdown, 100 yards, or at least 90.
I think Seattle. I think similar to a couple other games, I predicted that Seattle takes out their frustrations on the Titans. Seattle feels like they should be undefeated, and they certainly don't want to lose at home. I think that beast mode is going to go beast mode. Russell Wilson will find a way to get his receivers involved, whether they be, you know, high-profile receivers or like a Sidney Rice or maybe even a Doug Baldwin. And
yeah, where have those guys been? I'm like,
I don't
play
know.
Some ball,
I don't know.
Baby.
Exactly. So maybe when Percy Harvin comes back, that's what they need to get them over the hump. But I still think at home with the 12th man and the Titans, if you think about it, I mean, Locker and Fitzpatrick and Chris Johnson, I mean, they're 3-2 almost in spite of the fact that, you know, that, well, who's their best offensive player? Nate Washington these days? I don't know. Nate Washington had a couple, you know, a couple good games, but I just think Seattle takes out their frustrations at home. They're just too good. I believe the Titans, like you said, will hold it tight for a while, but I think they'll pull away, and Pete Carroll doesn't have any problem stepping on your throat. So I think the Titans win 30. I mean, the Seahawks win 31-13. I think it's a bit of a blowout.
30. Wow, okay. And, you know, look, that crowd, it can get away from you real quick because we know one thing Ryan Fitzpatrick can do is turn it over and throw interceptions. Now we got a game of two amazing, legendary, maybe two of the best ever quarterbacks, New Orleans at New England. Now, look,
game.
Brady, for you fantasy people, look, this could be just a ping pong, right? But at the same time, guess what? Both these teams this year have great defenses. And Brady gave you 5 fantasy points last week. Brady was just a mess, atrocious. You don't know if, you know, what Ridley's not going to play. LeGarrette Blount's not doing this. Bolden's not doing that. The Saints, Sproles disappeared last week after having a big week before. I think for me, this is a Jimmy Graham game, and Gronk won't be there to battle him, and that's going to be disappointing. But I just can't see the Saints going into New England. I can't see Belichick. You know, look, they went to Chicago and won, but to win 2 in a row on the road, if the Saints pull this off, ladies and gentlemen, I think they're going to the Super Bowl if they pull this off. But I'm going to say the Patriots win a gutty, gutty, rough, one of those, you know, Brady, ugly Belichick games. Kembrell Tompkins gets a touchdown, you know, who else? You just don't know. But I say the Patriots win 23-20. Very
so
close
this
game.
This game's a coin flip for me. And if Gronkowski doesn't play, I'll go out on a limb and say the Saints win a very, very close game. I think that just as clutch as the Patriots, Brady can be in the fourth quarter, it's like whoever has the ball last, you know, so I think whoever has the ball last wins this game. I don't know that it'll be a ping pong match. It won't be in the 40s, but I do think that there'll be some scoring, and I have this eerie suspicion.
You don't think my boy Talib can pick off Breeze?
He can, and he may get one. But I just have this suspicion that the Patriots, without Gronkowski and with an inconsistent running game, they don't hold on to the ball enough, and they won't keep the Saints off the field enough. So I think the Saints actually go in there and win this game 31-30, let's say.
Ooh,
and
okay.
it's a high scoring game. Yeah, I was going to say, you know, not a ping pong match, but you know what?
You're going for the fantasy stats. Just be honest. You want to see some fantasy.
I don't have anybody in the team, though. That's the crazy part. I just look
irony.
At both of these quarterbacks, and I think if the weather is okay, it's still not that cold. It's still, you know, we're just in October. Both quarterbacks have a lot to prove. This
East Coast
game
isn't bad yet,
to be,
right?
This game was supposed to be the game where Drew Brees had an opportunity. Tom Brady had an opportunity to tie Drew Brees' record at 54 games for most consecutive games with a touchdown. But because he couldn't throw one against the Bengals, then this game, I mean, they're both, you know,
Yeah, and that killed me, but I don't even want to talk about that from last week.
So, yes, I like the Saints. I like the Saints, especially if Gronkowski doesn't play.
All right, so let's look at the Sunday night game. The NFC least, known as the NFC East, it's the Redskins who are one game out at the Cowboys. Cowboys and Eagles are what? Both 2-3, 1-4, Redskins, RG3.
In first place.
What the Cowboys did last week was amazing. I don't want to say because the Broncos' defense is not that good, but it was amazing because they just went blow for blow with maybe the best team in the NFL. And, you know, Romo, again, the interception, fourth quarter. But you almost want to say none of this is his fault. He did what he had to do to win, right? You know, I don't know if you knocked the defense. I don't know who you knocked because you might not beat the Broncos this year. You know, Dallas might have been the closest to doing it. But I just think Washington, they beat Dallas twice last year. I think RG3 is going to wake up. I think Dallas might be reeling. I think that San Diego loss, then the Broncos, their spirit could be done. I think the Redskins, for some reason, go into Dallas and wake up. And, you know, we would think this would be the game the Cowboys would win because they're at home, but I think they might play better on the road. And I think at home, RG3, Garcon, Fred Davis, you know, Roy Hello Jr., you know, whoever needs to step up, baby. If Alfred Morris is 100%, I think the Redskins pull out a good game, 26-24, tight, final drive, field goal for the win.
Wow.
How about them Redskins? That's a shout-out for our boy Sean Savoy.
How about them Cowboys? I got to go the other side, and not because I'm a Cowboy fan, but I do think that the Cowboys are one of those win one, lose one teams. So they'll be around 500 the whole season. And the one thing the Cowboys have done, as inconsistent as they've been, they've never been horrible and they've never been great. So they've always been mediocre. And what that means is they typically surprise you and they win some games they shouldn't win. And then they lose games that they should win, right? They win some games they should lose, and they lose some games they should win. So this is a game that I think because of the Denver loss that I do believe they'll have focus, and they will take out some of their frustrations on the Redskins. Now, the Redskins are a bad matchup for them when RG3 is healthy and when they have that running game set. And Monty Kiffin took the 51 points on him last week, the Denver loss.
Right.
So I believe that the Cowboys will be ready for the Redskins, and they'll put up
a
good game.
Football.
Yeah, they'll be ready for some football. So I believe the Cowboys are going to win this game. I think it'll be 28-24 Cowboys.
Okay. Now, look, fantasy-wise, you know, we got some, you know, different things. I'm going to say this. I'll just say this before we do our You're Not Ready segment. I'm going to root for my boy, Adrian Peterson. And Minnesota against the Panthers, I think they win. And I think Adrian Peterson, he breaks out. He gets his 200 yards. He gets a two-touchdown game. And he kind of gets back to being AP and with a heavy heart. So, as a father, I'm rooting for AP. And
yeah,
Minnesota,
I think everybody is. I mean, that's
yeah,
horrible.
I think Minnesota gets
dying.
The Panthers something like, you know, 24-13. I think AP is my fantasy, you know, sort of pick of the week.
So before we get into the fantasy, let's remind everybody that Atlanta and Miami
the bye
are on bye. Remember to get all
Gonzalez,
those players out.
Yeah.
Get Matt Ryan out. Get Gonzalez out. Julio Jones is done for the year. I don't know if we mentioned that, but, looks like that's horrible. Roddy White gets another week to rest up. You know, all your Miami players. Is Caleb Sturgis. I saw
Lamar Miller.
They picked him up in our league, the kicker. That was a good pickup.
Get another kicker,
So
Tannehill,
take all those players out.
Mike Wallace. So give me a guy before we get to You're Not Ready, man.
Okay, I'll give you a guy that everybody knows about, but I think will still have a big game. You know who I'm going to go with? I'm going to go with a guy that's been a little bit under the radar screen. I'm going to go with Marcus Colston. I think despite the fact that he could have, you know, Aqib Talib on him, I think that with so much attention being paid to Jimmy Graham, that Marcus Colson is going to prove why he's a borderline Hall of Fame player. And he might have a big game up the seam and then on the outside. Marcus Colson's everywhere. So look for Marcus Colson to play up to his...
You don't think Tlaib will lock him?
I
think Tlaib will be on him and
lock
him.
I think they'll move or keep Tlaib around a little bit. And I think that Sean Payton's creative enough to create these mismatches, some picks, some action up the middle with Jimmy Graham. I look for Marcus Colson on the sneak to have a big game.
Should be a fun game. All right, before we get so you're not ready, I'll just say this real quick. This might could be the upset special of the week, but I will just mention this. Oakland Raiders, okay? I think Kansas City might be favored by 9. The Raiders have covered in Kansas City, I think, 7 out of the last 7 years. So I'm just going to say the upset special for me might be Terrell Pryor and the Raiders. So just watch them against Kansas City.
Win or the cover? You think they might win?
They're going to cover. I don't know if they're going to win. But it's going to be one of those games where it's like 28-27, 24-23. But, I think the Chiefs could pull it out, but I'm just not sleeping on the Raiders. I would go with the Chiefs, but the Raiders will cover the spread. Just for those folks that like to go to Vegas, you lay your money down on the Raiders. So you start first. Who are you not ready? Who are the fans not ready for Ray?
Okay. So this game may take on a whole other dynamic because of what we said with Adrian Peterson. You never know how a guy is going to react when his 2-year-old son dies, right? He may have tremendous focus, and he may tell the coach, give me the ball 50 times. I'm your guy. Because obviously Christian Ponder and Matt Cassel are not – top-tier quarterbacks. Yeah. Adrian might just say, give me the ball and everybody get out of the way. Having said that, there's a guy on that team that I picked up, Greg Jennings, and their tight end. So I have both of them on my team, right? And neither of them has done really anything, Kyle Rudolph or Greg Jennings. The guy who's a little bit under the radar screen on that team is Jerome Simpson. So that's the guy that I don't think you're ready for. I don't think you're ready for
Jerome
Simpson to have a big game because Matt Castle's throwing him the ball. You think, all right, not a great quarterback, but there's going to be so much attention paid to Adrian Peterson and potentially even to Greg Jennings and Kyle Rudolph that you're going to get guaranteed single coverage on Jerome Simpson, and I think that Rome is going to do his thing. So he's my you're not ready. I like Jerome Simpson for 120 yards and 1 or 2 touchdowns.
Definitely solid. He killed my Steelers, so I will say that. And I picked him up in my fantasy league. I might even have him in real ball. I'm not too sure, but definitely going to be playing him this week. Well, for me, I'm going to say this. I'm going with the team I picked. They're 0-4. They're my Steelers. I think Winslow being out and the press clippings of the Jets is going to throw them in a little tailspin. But I think you got a two-headed monster, right? The Giants were hoping they would have it with Brandon Jacobs and David Wilson, but Wilson's not there now. But the Steelers will have it with Le'Veon Bell, who is my guy that you're not ready for, and Felix Jones. He's the only guy, Felix Jones, that's got any type of rushing yards for us this year or whatever, but he also catches the ball. But I think Le'Veon Bell is going to wind up putting up
the rookie from Michigan State
95 yards in his second game, give you a touchdown, maybe, one screen pass for 10, 15 yards. But it will do enough, for the Steelers to get the victory. And it's just going to be nice. And you're not going to be ready for Le'Veon Bell. That's my guy.
Okay. All right. So we'll be watching that game see if the Steelers can get off the schneid, see if the Jets are – if the Jets win this game, they'll be 4-2. Can you imagine? I had the Jets winning 3 or 4 games all year, and they might be 4-2. So
listen, they're playing amazing ball. I mean, what can you say? I think everybody owes, Rex Ryan an apology.
Let's wait for 16 games to play out first. But kudos to him, 3-2. Even if they lose 3-3 with this roster and a rookie quarterback, that's pretty good. And now losing Kellen Winslow for 4 games, that's nothing to sneeze at.
Definitely. Another great show. We'll be back on Monday. You know, Tay's on a flexible schedule, you know. Just continue to pray for us, man. Pray for my boy, Willie Beeman.
Yeah, all
Williams
prayer
Taylor.
Goes out to Willie,
you know,
young Willie
get,
Beeman.
Yeah, to get better. And, you know, we just got to get him up, man. Get him up and going and feeling good. Yeah, heal them lungs. All right, so listen, thanks for talking sports with friends. Thanks for listening. And we're out. Have a great sports weekend.
Have a great sports weekend. We'll see you on the flip side. We'll see you on Monday. We're out.
Song through its door,
Ray and Tay.
Just as if it seems to know.
William Truth.
I'm exclusively yours.
Love you, son. Peace.
Knowing this, I feel but one way. You will understand it too. In these words that I say.